Welcome to the ABCs of the Bible, a radio ministry dedicated to bringing you the Word of God. God promises that when His Word goes forth, it won't come back void, but will accomplish that which He pleases.
Greetings, friends. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you ever had someone do something really, really rotten to you? Well, if you are a Christian, you know that you shouldn't take matters into your own hands. So perhaps you've grown to that point and you said, okay, I'm going to commit him into the hands of God because God says vengeance is mine. But all the while you're really hoping, man, I hope God gets that guy. I hope God makes him pay for what he did to me. Well, if you do have that feeling, I can understand it, believe me. But it's not quite where God wants us to be yet. God is love, and we must be love. So actually, we should be praying that God gives repentance to this person who has done evil to us, so that that person doesn't have to pay for his or her own sins. That's how God feels. God doesn't want anyone to perish. He doesn't want anyone to suffer. So that's how we should feel. We should be praying for a person's repentance so that they don't have to suffer, so that they don't have to die for their own sins. And didn't Jesus say that his Father sent him into the world so that whoever believes on him should not perish but have eternal life? And of course, that's the love of God. That's how God so loved the world. So if God is love and he loved the world in that way, and if God is in us, then we should be love and we should love the world that way. We should love even those people who have done those really, really rotten things to us or to one of our loved ones. So let's take a look at Jesus' sacrifice and see the love of God demonstrated. And we're going to pick up the story as Jesus is now nailed to the cross. And let's pick this up in Luke chapter 23, and we'll read verses 32 through 33. This is Luke chapter 23 and verses 32 through 33. And there were two other people, malefactors, or people that have done evil, that were led with Jesus to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified Jesus and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Now what does this saying mean? Well, we'll go into that in just a moment. One on the right hand and one on the left. But let's now skip down to verse 39 and we'll read through verses 43. So this is verses 39 through 43 of Luke chapter 23. And one of the malefactors, which was hanged next to Jesus, railed on Jesus, saying, if you be the Christ, then save yourself and us. But the other person that was hanged with Christ rebuked this other one, saying, wait a minute, don't you fear God, seeing you are in the same condemnation? We are being condemned justly, for we receive the due reward for our deeds, but this man has done nothing amiss. And then afterwards the same person said to Jesus, Lord, please remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus, in his loving response, said, truly I say to you, today you shall be with me in paradise. So the lesson, the first part, and you can guess this probably, there was one person who was hanged on Jesus' left side, and there was one person who was hanged on Jesus' right side. Which person do you think was hung on the left side, and which person do you think was hung on the right side? Well, the person who was on the right side of God, who gave the right answer, was the one who said, we are receiving the due reward for our deeds, but Jesus has done nothing amiss. And then he asked Jesus, when you come into your kingdom, please remember me. That malefactor was on Jesus' right side. And the one on the left side said to Jesus, if you be the Christ, then save yourself and us. And he was mocking Jesus and railing on him. So we're going to find something interesting now in Matthew chapter 25, because this talks about the story of the goat and the sheep. And notice that the goat are put on the left side and the sheep are put on the right side. So Jesus was hung on a cross in the middle between two other people, and one represented the goat, the other represented the sheep. So let's see this story in Matthew chapter 25, and we'll read in verses 31 through 46. It says, "When the Son of Man shall come in his glory," so this is talking about when Jesus Christ returns to this earth, "he's going to bring all his holy angels with him. Then he shall sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, just as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say to them that is on his right hand," the sheep in other words, "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you?" So notice that the righteous people are represented by the sheep. They are represented by the people on the right. So that's one way to remember it: the righteous on the right. And the ones who are left behind are on the left. So they said, "When did we see you sick and in prison and visit you?" And the king shall say to them, "Verily I say to you, inasmuch as you have done it to your fellow man, you have done it to me." So what God is saying is, if we show love to our fellow man, then we are actually showing love to God. And again, if God is in us and God is love, then we should be love. And so Jesus goes on to say, "Then he shall say to them on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire. And this fire is the one that's prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, you did not feed me. I was thirsty, you didn't give me anything to drink. I was a stranger, you did not take me into your home. I was naked, you didn't give me any clothes. I was sick and in prison, and yet you did not visit me. Then they shall say to him, Lord," and these are the wicked people, "when did we see you hungry and thirsty? When did we see you as a stranger or naked, sick, or in prison, and did not serve you?" Then Jesus shall say to them, "Truly I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of your brothers or sisters, you did not do it to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." So that's the lesson of the goat and the sheep, the one on the left, the one on the right. The person who was hung next to Jesus on the left, who was the goat because he railed on Jesus and mocked him and didn't believe in Jesus and said to him, "If you're the Christ, then save yourself and us." So he was doubting him and mocking him and saying, in effect, "You're not the Christ, you're just another criminal just like me." So because he didn't value the Christ, the sacrifice of Jesus, the Lamb of God, this person then was like the goat, the one on the left, the one who was wicked, who did not demonstrate love for his neighbor, and he was sent away into the lake of fire. The one on the right, who's the righteous one, the sheep, the one that on the cross was on Jesus' right side, who said, "Jesus, please remember me when you go into your kingdom, and I recognize you as the Lamb of God." This person, Jesus said to him, "I will remember you. Today I am telling you, I will remember you when I come into my kingdom, and you shall receive glory. You will be brought into righteousness and eternal life." So that's what those two people hung on the cross next to Jesus, one on the left and one on the right, that's what it represented, the sheep and the goat. The righteous and the unrighteous, those who are going to go into everlasting punishment and those who are going to go into everlasting life. But again, we should notice something in this lesson, that there were two wicked people, because make no mistake, the scripture says that both of them were wicked. These were two wicked people who were hung next to Jesus, but one of them had, if you will, a deathbed repentance. And that's bringing us back to our first point. The one on the right repented at the last moment and recognized that Jesus was his Savior and asked for forgiveness of sins. And Jesus, at the last moment, granted him forgiveness of sins. So this person perhaps was wicked all of his life, perhaps had done some really rotten things to people, but hopefully there was someone praying for him. In fact, Jesus praying for him, that he would repent and accept Jesus' sacrifice. And this person at the last moment did repent. And what does it say when someone repents? It says that even the angels in heaven rejoice. God the Father, Jesus Christ his Son, and all of the angels rejoice when someone repents. And so we should rejoice also, and we should be praying for our enemies, those who despitefully use us, who curse us, who do really rotten things to us. We know that vengeance is God, that he will repay, but we should pray that the goodness of God leads that person to repentance so that they don't have to pay for their sins, because Jesus has paid for their sins just like he paid for our sins. And that's the love of God. That's the love we should have. And notice an example in Matthew chapter 20, and this is in verses 1 through 16. This is another deathbed repentance, so to speak. And it's a lesson for us to learn that we should rejoice that even if people come to Jesus at the last moment, after having done evil all of their lives, that's okay. We should rejoice in that. So let's read this example in Matthew chapter 20, and this is verses 1 through 16. It says here, "For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour, and saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and said to them, 'You should go also into the vineyard, and whatever is right, I'm going to pay you for it.' And they went their way. Again he went out about the sixth hour and the ninth hour and did the same thing. Called people in. They came into work. He paid them their just wages. And about the 11th hour, and of course there's 12 hours in a day which you can work, so this is the 11th hour, the last minute, so to speak. At about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle and said to them, 'Why are you standing idle? Come on in. I have some work for you.' And they went on in. And then at the end of the day, he called all of the laborers to receive their payment. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received a penny just like everybody else." Now notice this reaction. "But when the people that came the earliest in the morning, the first ones to come, they supposed that they should have received more. And they were not happy that they received the same amount as the people that came in the 11th hour." But now notice Jesus' response. Jesus says, "Friend, I do you no wrong. Didn't you agree with me for a penny for your day wages? Then take what is yours and go your way. I will give unto the last even as I have given unto you. I am the one who have the business. I made a contract with these people. You should be happy that you got paid, and you should be happy that they got paid exactly what I said." And then the last point is, he said, "So the last shall be first, and the first shall be last. For many be called, but few are chosen." So to us, it may not seem fair that Jesus will give people repentance at the 11th hour on the deathbed. But we should rejoice no matter when repentance comes, because it means that a person has embraced our Lord Jesus Christ, and we have gained a brother. We have gained someone with whom we can spend eternal life together in happiness and peace. Let's rejoice in the love of God.